Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody, fresh back from his trip to Texas. Cody, how you feeling, buddy?
Oh man, I feel like a million bucks. I feel like I need to move to Texas. I'm starting to GoFundMe now. Move my booty cheeks to move my butt to Texas. No, I'm just kidding. Not really though. Anyways, no, I don't know, dude. Texas was sick. I'm wearing the team shirt that I had made for me and my gaming buddies that I went to visit. This was the first time solo flying by myself, which was pretty fun, and first time solo vacationing, and first time meeting people in real life that I met from online gaming, which was almost 3 years ago. So it was really cool, really fun time. The week went by way too fast. Big shout out to Keto Ash, Killer Tofu, and Busty Cops. Those are their gamer tag names. I'm not gonna shout out their real names right now. I don't know if they'd want that or not. So anyways, it was a good time. If you guys want to see anything about that, just go follow me on my socials that are underneath me on the YouTube video or anything like that. But again, James, it was a great time. You got to cover my route all week, so I'm sure it's not totally messed up. Nah, we're good. How are you doing, James?
Don't reach into those bags, though. You never know what I left in them.
I don't know.
Hey, on a Victory Tuesday, man, I'm feeling pretty good. Victory Monday.
What are you talking Monday. About?
I'm already thinking about tomorrow and work and stuff.
That's fair.
Victory Monday is what it is after a Saturday game. It's a lot of fun to talk about. But before we get into that, I wanted to say thank you to all the new listeners and followers. We had a tremendous uptick in views on YouTube and a real nice increase in audio downloads as well. Really appreciate every single one of you. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and stick around for a while. Plenty more of this good stuff coming, I promise you that.
Oh, abso-frickin-lutely. So real quick, give you the rundown of what we're going to go through for the day. We're going to kind of go over what happened last weekend with some practice and cap room updates, and then go through the injuries that happened throughout the week for practice, and then we're going to dive right in to the game and our recap of it, what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like, how the players performed, give you our opinion plus just the facts of how the players performed. So starting right off, Pittsburgh's salary cap, James.
Before we got into last week and a few guys going on the injured reserve, Pittsburgh was sitting about 9.2 to 9.4 million under the cap. Unfortunately, every time one of these guys goes on the IR, it actually negatively impacts the cap. So that's something to think about. We had three guys that we're going to tell you about this upcoming week that ended up going to the cap. Usually it's a split salary, which means that only half of what they were supposed to make counts against the cap as far as that. But if you've made it past year four, which one of these players did, a certain inside linebacker, then his entire salary cap goes against it on the injured reserve. That's, of course, unless Pittsburgh reaches an injury settlement, which happens a lot of times with these guys. And that's exactly why you see that, because then it frees up that cap space. Because otherwise, if you were, say, a fifth-year inside linebacker with a number three at the end of your name, you'd count almost $1 million against the salary cap being on the IR.
Yep. Not ideal. Not ideal, to say the lightest.
Not great.
No. So moving on from that, the Saturday practice that James and I were supposed to be at last week did actually wind up happening, just not open to the public or outside like it was supposed to be at in La Trobe at the St. Vincent College. It was moved inside to the south side indoor facility where they did have practice. Sadly, we weren't able to watch it to bring you firsthand news. But we tried. That's all we can really say.
That's it, man. So we'll try again next year too. We'll go absolutely back again next year and try to make it happen. I'm sure we'll have better luck with it next year. It's pretty rare. They almost never call off practice like that.
And no,
this year was just a whole nother animal. A lot of these practices in between last week and this week ended up getting moved from 2 o'clock to in the morning because of, again, inclement weather coming in. So they were constantly moving locations. They ended up doing the practice at the high school at the Veterans Memorial Stadium that we went to like on Tuesday or something because they still couldn't use the college field because it was still too waterlogged from all the rain that they had. So all over the place with that. Some injury updates for you throughout the week here. Monday practice was the first time Derek Watt missed. Turned out to be a shoulder, we found out later on. Doesn't seem to be too serious, but they're going to be careful with him because he led the team in special teams tackles. And turns out he's a decent fullback as well, right?
Yeah.
Then our boy UG3, Ulysses Gilbert III.
UG3. Gone.
Right foot in a boot on Monday. We found out on Tuesday it was worse, but we'll get to that.
We will get to
Tyson Alualu came off of the physically unable to perform list, which is great news. That means he's healing up nicely, responding well to physical therapy, and making it through the light workouts that he's been doing. So great news about that. We really need him in order to have a better performance against the run this upcoming season.
Absolutely.
Did you want to get into the waived outside linebacker?
Yeah, so we waived outside linebacker T.D. Moultrie, who was injured, which is why we waived him. And then we signed the outside linebacker Rondell Carter. Rondell Carter, who previously played for the Cowboys, the Colts, and the Texans. So I don't remember seeing much of him in the game, unfortunately, if at all. I don't think he played, correct?
If he did, it wasn't anything.
It was probably like special teams.
There was one guy I couldn't figure out who it was on the defense, at number 44. If it was him, he got some snaps. It was him. He looked like a defensive lineman. He was way too chubby to be an outside linebacker for Pittsburgh.
Well, fair enough.
I don't expect much there to last.
Fair enough.
So he did get a little bit of playing time. He just kind of looked like a 290-pound defensive end, and he's supposed to be like 265, I think.
Yeah, so. So we'll see what happens with that project. And then also, the last injuries that wind up Monday's practice, Alex Highsmith had a rib injury and Kevin Dotson with a right ankle. Both of those players aren't expected to miss too much time, but just keep an eye on that. We'll get into more of that in a little bit. Tuesday's practice. No, excuse me. This is still Monday. Larry Ogunjobi, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Chase Claypool, Cam Sutton are all full practice for the first time since their injuries, which was great. Alualu, Freiermuth, and Miles Killebrew all had partial practices, which, again, moving in the right direction with Alualu, Freiermuth, the number one tight end. And then Miles Killebrew, guy who blocked two freaking punts last year. That pec injury, we talked about it. You know, we talked about it in the last episode. So he's coming back from that as well. Connor Hayward, with Derek Watt being out, was subbed in the fullback position. We would have liked to have seen some of that in the game, but we really didn't. He played mostly tight end. Played fairly well. We'll get to that later as well. You want to say something?
We were trying to tell you he's going to end up at fullback. There it is. Here's the beginning stages. We'll see more of that in the future. I'm pretty sure of that personally. Past Connor Hayward, Derek Tuzka, with Alex Highsmith out, got some first team defense reps. And on the side was seen doing some long snapping. So he's practicing up to possibly be the emergency long snapper, which is a smart move because Pittsburgh does not want to put TJ Watt out there to do the long snapping.
Although he's good at it.
Just because he can.
Yeah, he's good at it.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. TJ, you're too much to be out there long snapping. Some idiot will take a cheap shot at him on special teams.
He'd be the highest paid long snapper in the league, that's for sure.
about 30 times more than the next best paid guy.
Too. Yep. So Tuesday's practice, we also had an injury to Martavius Adams, who had an ankle injury, possibly carted off the field. We weren't sure about that completely. And then Zach Gentry had an undisclosed injury, which James and I were discussing before. James has a very good thought process on it, just that Pat Freiermuth coming back from his injury, Zach Gentry may have been getting used more, just allowing him to have some rest time, put it under an injury.
Yeah, I think that's all it is. They never came out and said that he was technically injured. He's just been missing practice every day. He was at the game. He was on the sidelines, chumming around with everybody. He's been seen around the facilities. Doesn't seem like this is anything to be alarmed of. So I wouldn't be too worried about Zach Gentry. I think they were just giving him a little rest because he was getting a ton of reps. And this gave them the opportunity to have the other three guys play because literally we've got a three-way competition for the number three tight end. And this forced all three of them into heavy action during the game, which is what you need. If you want to know which one of them can do it, make them all play.
Yep, pretty much.
You kind of already know what you have in Gentry. So.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We're moving to Wednesday now.
Wednesday injury.
Benny Snell had a right knee injury that was wrapped. Wide receiver Javon McKinley had a left shoulder, would wind up being placed on IR. And we'd actually sign another wide receiver by the name of Christian Blake to replace him, who was an undrafted free agent from 2018. And then this was also when UG3 went to the IR as well. And then Steelers claimed outside linebacker Hamilcar Rashid Jr., correct?
Hamilcar Rashid Jr.
Rashid Jr. off waivers. Yep.
And Hamilcar has got some pedigree as a pass rusher. His junior year, I want to say it was about 12 and a half sacks that he had. A really impressive year. Everybody expected him to be a high draft pick the following year. And then his senior year, he only had like 1.5 sacks or something, which that was the first year of COVID. A lot of people didn't play anywhere near as much as normal. A lot of people couldn't even access a weight room to lift weights. A lot of guys were out of shape and had a tough time getting workouts in. So tough to say exactly what happened there, but it hasn't worked out for him in the NFL so far. But he'll get a shake at Pittsburgh because that back end of the roster, as far as the outside linebackers, Pittsburgh's trying to find somebody for the future. Now, they're looking for guys that can play on the practice squad and play on special teams. They're always looking for somebody with some pass rush abilities. They keep on bringing guys in. This is just your next guy on the list of this.
Yep. In other news, before we go right into the game, I think it is important to kind of note, potentially, just to kind of keep track of ongoing issues, Deontay Johnson is currently facing a lawsuit, James. I don't know if you saw that or not.
No, I did not.
Yeah, so Deontay Johnson is facing a lawsuit right now because back in May, he failed to show up to a youth football camp that he was scheduled to go to. And reading here that the reporter from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jason Mackey, reported this past Tuesday, the details in the lawsuit, which told them that Johnson's agent texted the camp organizers just 13 minutes before the camp was scheduled to open, saying that Deontay Johnson's flight was canceled. Johnson was then scheduled to show up later in the day by getting another flight, but he decided he didn't want to wait for another flight and left the airport. So Deontay Johnson is facing a lawsuit regarding not making it to that youth camp. I'm not saying this shows bad character. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying that this is the first big question mark to me as far as, is this guy a team player? Is he playing by the rules? Is he more focused on himself? This kind of stuff comes with fame. Like, you don't get to just be famous and make a lot of money and not go to the things that your coaching staff or your team organizers or your agents set you up with. That's part of being it. I mean, the same thing with us, me and you, James, watch Steelers come and play wheelchair basketball. They were required to send a certain number of players, and a certain number of players were selected, and they showed up.
Well, let's be real about that. They didn't. You had like 5 guys, and 2 of them were veterans.
Oh, so I know.
It was way below. They usually send about 12 guys on that. So there were a lot of guys that opted not to come to that. I'm not as worried about this as you are. If his flight got canceled, I mean, flying in the United States has just been an absolute nightmare for
people. Oh, I know.
A lot of people are showing up to their flights and being told that there's no room for them on the planes, that their flight's overbooked, all this stuff. Just the airlines have been a disaster. So I'm not real worried about this. I'd be a little more worried about it if it was like a domestic assault or he got in a fight at a bar like Chase Claypool did the other year. Like that last kind of year. Thing would be a much larger red flag for me.
That's
I don't like him not being there for that camp. I don't like it one bit.
And I will say that I didn't say it was a red flag. I didn't say red flag. I said question mark. I don't think it's a red flag. I don't think I'm like on high alert or anything. I'm just saying I want to know what's going on. That's all.
Yeah.
As a Steelers fan, I'm like, wonder what was going on there. Because why would you text them 13 minutes before it was supposed to open? Like his flight should have. That's probably the more red flag for me of like, why'd you wait that long to let them know he might not come or he's running late or whatever? I don't know. And maybe that's more on the agent's fault than his. I don't know. Again, not a red flag for me, but just a question mark. So on other news, we had a football game on Saturday night that I didn't think I was going to be able to watch it, but I did. James, Steelers football is officially back.
It is. And we got Kenny Clutch at quarterback, so I know all kinds of people talking all kinds of noise about you guys don't have a quarterback. Kind of looks like we got three of them to me.
And I bet you Chris Oladokun would have came in and lit it up too.
I think there's a reason Chris didn't get a chance to play, and that's because he hasn't had much chance to practice.
Nobody needs to know that.
but what a good showing for all three of them. Let's be real. We're going to start with the quarterbacks, and it started off with Mitchell Trubisky. He had some nice throws. He had a couple that he missed. In the end, on the very first drive, he took Pittsburgh right down the field, finished it with a touchdown. You can't ask for any more than that. I was impressed. I thought he looked pretty good. I thought he looked pretty poised. And he had command of the offense. And one of the things that we were complaining about the last couple of years with Pittsburgh's offense was not scoring on the initial drive.
Yep.
You know, maybe they get a first down or two and then punt. And it was seemed like they just come off the field joking around about it, not upset that they weren't scoring. Well, all three of these guys scored touchdowns
or more
on their opening drive.
Fair. That's true.
Yeah.
You can't score more than, well, one of them scored more than a touchdown on his opening drive.
Yeah. Because the 2-point conversion.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. It's almost like two touchdown passes a day.
Yeah.
But yeah, a really nice performance starting with Mitch. He only got two drives, and I don't blame them for not giving him a third. You saw enough in the first two to say, hey, this is good. This is something we can grow off of. And realistically, again, this was minus Kevin Dotson at left guard, who's our best left guard, even though it is an open competition technically with him and Kendrick Green right now. We were minus Chase Claypool, minus Deontay Johnson, minus Anthony Miller, minus Calvin Austin III,
yep,
minus Pat Freiermuth, minus Zach Gentry, minus Najee Harris, minus
Benny Snell.
So you're talking how many guys that are starters or second?
An entire starting offense wasn't playing at the you know, special positions or at the...
You basically had four of the five starting offensive linemen, and everybody else he was working with was backups. I mean, maybe you give him Pickett. Maybe Pickens. Maybe you give him George Pickens.
George Pickens, that's fair.
Pickens might end up starting, so I'll give him that. Maybe.
Might.
Maybe one.
Might.
Well,
bro,
I got a feeling
and the NFL changed their Twitter background, their Twitter banner because of this man.
It's fair. And he's listed as a starter right now. But that's because they're listing three wide receivers as starters. So, you know, in a three wide receiver set, he's absolutely one of the starting three right now. But yeah, I think once you got past him, you got into Mason Rudolph. Mason started off on his first play with very poor blocking from his blind side. And Pittsburgh was lucky not to lose the ball on that possession. Right out of the gate, unfortunately, Dan Moore's worst pass blocking performance of the entire night was on that one play.
Yep.
The very first play for Mason. And I said, man, if these guys are just going to stop blocking for Mason, it's going to look real bad. But that was the only time it seemed like the blocking was a lot better for him. I thought his pocket presence was pretty solid, man. He stayed in the pocket. They held a nice pocket for him, and he stood tall in there and delivered his passes. Most of the time was pretty accurate. I know he had one or two questionable throws where he had one almost intercepted. I know you were really
threw in
a
double
that.
Coverage. Oh, it was bad. It was a bad throw.
Sometimes they have a little more confidence than you should on certain throws. The great ones have that.
Is that what you call? Okay. Moving on.
A lot of questionable ones do too. But we got to give him credit. A couple really nice passes on that first drive, including a beautiful touch pass to the corner of the end zone to George Pickens. And again, like you said, the NFL changing their banner with this guy making these beautiful catches. We're going to talk about George, but real nice performance from him. Did a good job of helping the top quarterbacks look as good as they looked. And then the second half comes, and in comes Kenny Pickett.
And the crowd went nuts for Kenny. The crowd, I mean...
chanting for him.
Listen, Pickettsburg might be the new hashtag to go with. 13 of 15 passing for 95 yards, the most completions out of all the guys, the highest completion percentage out of all three guys, the most yards out of all three guys, and then the most touchdowns out of all three guys. He threw two touchdowns and the highest passer rating out of all three guys. Kenny Pickett, don't get me wrong, playing with lesser talent, going against lesser talent.
Yeah.
Put up some numbers, though. I'll take it. I think Kenny's going to move up. I think they're going to change I don't think that I would be shocked if Mitch got the start next game. I think they give the start to Mason.
And then let Pickett come in. Mason, Kenny, and then throw Mitch in at the end next week.
Yep.
Or just don't even play Mitch and maybe you play Chris at the end of the game. I don't know. But I agree with you, and it's very significant that he did so well with guys that are a lot of third string, fourth string, not even going to make the team kind of guys.
Well, they're also potential. He also played well with guys that might be with him 4 years down the line with this team. You get think of guys like Connor Hayward that he said he wanted in there on that 2-point conversion play. You think of guys like Jalen Warren was playing, I think, on and off the majority of the game. Obviously had that one fumble, but.
But yeah, he played a lot with Kenny in the second half. For sure. And you see guys like the wide receiver Tyler Vaughns at the end of the game making a really nice catch, breaking a tackle, and getting into the end zone. I thought you saw some nice catches out of both Kevin Rader and Jay Sternberger as well.
Yeah.
So it was really neat. And what I thought was really interesting is of the two incomplete passes that Kenny had, one of them was the new wide receiver that they just signed, Christian Blake, and he just lost the ball.
Yep.
He never even found it. So it wasn't necessarily a bad throw. It's just the receiver never even saw the ball. And then the second one, I think, was a sideline throw where it was just kind of one of those bang, bang, and the defender got there about the same time, and it ended up incomplete. But every other throw, right on the money, and talk about completion city, man. I love hearing 13 of 15.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's phenomenal.
Let's talk about Kenny's wheels too, man, because realistically that pocket broke down in him a number of times and he didn't stay specifically with the throw. He oftentimes scrambled as well and didn't look to just like, I'm going to take off. He got his first down and he got to the ground, or he got as many yards as he could and he got to the ground.
Yep.
So I really liked what I saw from him. Do you want to move on to the running backs?
Yeah, let's do it. So running backs, Anthony McFarland, right off the bat. Anthony McFarland came out at the gate, and I texted James almost immediately, and I was like, this guy's running for his position. This guy's running for his place on the team. He had a goal in mind, and it said, I'm going to show them that they better keep me on the team. And as far as a week one preseason performance, he did it. He did it. I don't have anything else to say about freaking McFarland, because he...
This is...
Oh my gosh.
The best that he's looked in any preseason game, in any regular season game since college. Anthony McFarland has not looked this good. I think this is tremendous. I think Matt Canada has a vision for him because of his explosiveness. And let's talk about his contact balance. He didn't have this the last couple of years.
Nope.
People were hitting him. He's bouncing off. He's staying up. He's getting extra yards. He had like a 23-yard carry.
24.
Even better. That was almost as good as Mason last year. That's impressive.
Oh, man.
You know I had to throw that in there.
I knew it was coming.
But realistically, Anthony McFarland, fantastic game. You got to love his chances in the 53 now. And then when he came out, it was Jalen Warren time, and Jalen Warren really wasn't much of a step backwards from him.
No.
And for a meathead, he can catch the ball, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And here's the thing, even with Jalen Warren and a lot of the guys that ran the ball, ideally, you're looking for a guy that can have a 4 to 4.5, maybe even high end on the 5 average yards per carry. That's a good running back.
That's a great running back.
All of these guys, except for a receiver, a quarterback who ran the ball, and Durant, who only had 2 carries, averaged 5 yards or more. Anthony McFarland averaged 8 yards a carry. Jalen Warren averaged 5.7. That's phenomenal. 13 was as long, so he still had one run that was long enough for a first down on its own.
Yeah. Like,
that's phenomenal. That's what you want to see out of these guys. Even Master Teague came in and played fairly well.
Yeah, I liked how hard Master Teague ran when he came in there. And near the end, I got to say this, because they made an error on TV. They were talking about Master Teague getting some blocks on a play. It wasn't Master Teague. That was Mateo Durant. Pay attention to it, guys. It was number 40, and he made 2 blocks on a very key play late in the game where somebody was running at the bottom of the screen on the sideline and really sprung the guy. And they're like, oh, look at these blocks by Master Teague. I'm like, come on, man. It's a number 40 on his jersey. Teague's 33. Come on. Look at your programs, guys.
Look at your programs.
It even got it. Even Steelers Depot put it on their page wrong. Really? Really, really surprised by, because they nail almost everything. But they put the video up and said something about Master Teague. So it must not have been Dave. There's no way Dave would have let that slip.
You should have said something. You should have commented.
I almost did, but I don't want to sound like a troll.
I don't think it's whatever you say, James. Whatever you say. Anyways, again, the running backs did very well. Steven Sims even had a run for 38 yards, which was phenomenal.
Let's talk about that jet sweep, because it was really effective.
It was very effective. It was as effective as it's been since we had Hayward Bay run it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's been years. Or
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He ran those well, too. But, again, he didn't run it very often. That's going to be an important part of this offense, is doing the jet sweep a couple times a game to keep defenses honest. So you can fake it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 100%.
And that keeps the backside linebacker from pursuing down the line after the running back, which gives the running back the option of juking people up and choosing a hole instead of just having to go with whatever he goes with.
Yep.
Because there's somebody hot on his heels and he has no choice.
Yep.
It gives you that time to be patient like Le'Veon Bell always was, and pick and choose your hole by doing that. So we're going to see a lot of that this upcoming year. And I'm excited to see, especially when Calvin Austin III gets a chance to run some of those, man, because he's lightning fast.
Yeah, I'm sad we didn't get to see him play yet, but I am looking forward to that very, very much. Wide receiver room was wild. So you had 12 different players catch the ball. Out of those 12, 9 were receivers, and we didn't have 3 of our receivers, 2 of them being starters. That's a good problem to have, that you have so many guys, four? Oh, yeah, Anthony Miller.
Yeah, because Anthony Miller.
It's just crazy. Gunnar Olszewski, obviously 3 receptions for 47 yards and the 1 touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Phenomenal play from him all game. Phenomenal. Like, I was like, what are we going to do? Like, I thought this guy was supposed to be our return man. What are we going to do now?
They didn't even let him return kicks. I was like, this guy looks really comfortable running routes. He looks really good as a receiver. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed. You know, a guy with less than 30 career catches in 4 seasons, you don't expect something like that. But he looked like a seasoned veteran as a receiver.
He absolutely did. George Pickens, also 3 receptions for 43 yards and a touchdown. George Pickens being on the Mason Rudolph dime, whatever you want to call it, in the corner of the end zone.
Wow.
I think it was an okay pass. It was a phenomenal catch.
Stop.
but again, what are we going to call him? George Toe Tap? It doesn't sound as good, but I'm down.
No, we're going to find something for him. George is amazing. That's what he is right now. So
yeah,
he's not George of the Jungle. He's something else, man. He's incredible. I'm really looking forward to
George of Acrisure Stadium. We're going to come up with something. I'm just going to move down this list, James, if you're cool with that.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Tyler Vaughns, right?
Tyler Vaughns, 2 receptions for 32 yards and a touchdown. Phenomenal. He's the guy that made a guy miss and got in the end zone.
Yes. He broke the tackle, went and got the 10, and then dove into the end zone, man. Friggin' beautiful play by Tyler.
Great play. I mean, that stock up like crazy right there for him. He made that play look good. Don't get me wrong, it was a great pass, and Kenny Pickett did a phenomenal job on that drive. After almost blowing it on the drive before, defense came up, made a big play. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Quick on that, before we go too far on that, that was Boye Mafe. If you remember him in the pre-draft process, I was really big on Boye Mafe.
I do remember that.
Dude was a stud pass rusher and really tore it up in the game he was in. I forget if it was Senior Bowl or East-West Shrine, but he was really good in one of those all-star games. And he was doing that all game long. He got somebody earlier in the game, too. I think he had at least 2 sacks in that game. Boye Mafe, kind of a stud outside linebacker, and really showing it as a rookie.
Yeah, so just phenomenal play from, again, Kenny Pickett and Tyler Vaughns. Going down the list, Jaylen Warren, the running back, had 4 receptions for 30 yards and a touchdown. And his touchdown was impressive. The fact that he held onto the ball and did this, he got the touchdown off the first catch, he did. But then doing the reach, he would have got it again. It was very impressive to see his, it was almost like the AB reach when he was getting his face pulled by Eric Weddle. It was wild. So, like to see that. And quite frankly, James, I know we talked about the nasty a lot when it comes to the offensive line. This is the nasty that I want to see from our receiver core, running backs included, tight ends included. So I thought it was
George Pickens included.
George Pickens, you see, included.
George bullying people.
Yeah, I saw that when he shoved him to the ground. That was a good. Yes. I don't know what he did with his hand afterward, but I don't. Yeah. I don't want to assume anything. I don't care either.
Yeah, I don't care. I love it.
No, it was phenomenal. Next guy on the list, Connor Hayward, James.
I got a lot to say about Connor.
That's why I shut up. That's why I shut up.
So let's talk about the opening kickoff of the game, right? Who gets the tackle on opening kickoff?
Connor Hayward.
Connor Hayward, right? Opening kickoff of the second half. Who gets the tackle?
Connor Hayward.
Connor Hayward.
It's like I watched the game.
I was trying to tell you guys, not only has he got incredible hands and the ability to play multiple positions on offense, the guy is really good on kick coverage units. This is exactly what you have with Derek Watt, and you have another one with Connor Hayward. And he's showing he can do it at the pro level already in his first game. Not just do it, but excel at it. Love his hands. Love his versatility. Love the fact that he's comfortable running routes. Let's see what he can do as a blocker, and let's see what he can become. But he's already a really good special teamer and already showing some nice versatility. I'm excited about Connor.
Yeah. Next guy on the list, Jay Sternberger, another tight end. Two receptions, 20 yards. Phenomenal play on two targets, to be known. Jay Sternberger caught both balls.
100%. That's great.
Absolutely. Miles Boykin, two receptions for 17 yards. Cody White, 3 for 13, Tyler Snead, 2 for 10. And then you had guys at the end of the list, Christian Blake, Kevin Rader, and Steven Sims, all 1 reception for 7, 6, and 2 yards, respectively. These guys played well.
Boykin showed pretty well. Not really known for his receiving skills in Baltimore in his first stint in the NFL. But I thought that he looked pretty confident. Looked pretty good at the catch point, strong catching the ball and then turning upfield. So it'd be interesting. He was also good on special teams on the coverage units, which is what he was known for in Baltimore as well. So really going to be a difficult decision for Pittsburgh because you did get some nice play out of a lot of guys here. So that back end of the roster, that practice squad, whoever you end up keeping, I think they're going to be pretty happy with him. That's for sure. Offensive line. Let's talk about these guys real quick here before we move over to the defensive side.
Yeah. I mean, these guys, I think the offensive line played better than I expected, especially late in the game. Don't mind me in my new cowboy hat that my friends got me. I thought the offensive line was going to be really bad once you got to the end of the line. No pun intended. However, I felt
better
like...
Than I thought.
Huh?
A lot better than I thought at the end. You're right.
A lot better than I thought. I was worried for Kenny's sake. And he, yeah, don't get me wrong, he got sacked, I think, once or twice, if I'm not mistaken.
I think twice, yeah.
I think it was twice for 17 yards. But again, Kenny Pickett was able to sit behind that line a couple times and had the time to throw the ball. Also, these guys running the ball had some holes to go through, and they did some good. When you had guards pulling and stuff like that, they all looked better than I expected them to, which was very, very high praise for the offensive line as a whole. Now, again, we talked about James Daniels, his worst block, or was it James Daniels? Was it Dotson?
Daniels had a missed block early in the game that let somebody run free. I saw what happened on the play. At the snap of the ball, a defensive back came in like a corner or safety blitz on the outside. So Chuk switched from the guy that he was lined up opposite to go out to get that. And the communication was not there. So Daniels didn't pick up that linebacker who then ended up coming free.
Yeah,
that was his only miscue of the night, though. I thought the rest of the game, Daniels looked really good. Kendrick Green didn't get pushed back as easily as previous years, but still I thought looked like somebody a little overwhelmed in one-on-one pass protection matchups. And Dan Moore, I thought, really only had one bad rep, and that was the first one for Mason Rudolph. Other than that, I thought he held that left side down real well. I think maybe the best performance of all of the starting offensive linemen might have been Mason Cole.
I'd agree. I didn't see anything.
That's it. When your offensive lineman's doing a great job, you don't even know he's out there.
Yep.
So fantastic. What a nice change of pace from
unless his name was David DeCastro, watching him pull every game and pancake somebody. That's different.
Yeah. 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 Or Alan Faneca back when he used to do it too. Same idea, you know.
Yep.
Tremendous pullers. Chooks had a nice game too, I thought. He had a play where he pancaked the living snot out of somebody. Somebody jumped up for a ball, and he just took him and slammed him down to the ground. It was great. John LeGlue also. I thought John had a fantastic game playing almost entirely at guard.
Yep.
So that's something to talk about, and I think Trent Scott had a rough game at tackle. So Joe Haag looked good. Trent Scott, not so much. Starting to get a little bit of a shape as to what that backup offensive line unit could be. Also, Chaz Green, they played exclusively at guard, and I thought he looked pretty natural at guard. He really struggles as a tackle, but he's a really dense dude, and I thought on the inside, this might be a nice home for him. So if you can get LeGlue to be versatile enough, he played tackle previous years. If he can still play a little bit of tackle, maybe keep him as the fourth tackle and start talking about maybe Chaz Green as that extra guy inside.
Yeah, absolutely. Now moving on to the defensive side of the ball, we're going to start with the defensive front. I thought our defensive front seven did not play as well as I thought we would. Right off the bat, I expected to see more pressure. We got some sacks. Don't get me wrong. We did. Someone by the name of Henry Mondoa, I don't know if you've heard of him, got the first one. James might have something to say about that.
My guy Mondo, he's still not that great against the run, but no. Still good against the pass. And a little bit of this is just situational. He's still learning how to handle a double team. I thought one-on-ones he did well, a lot better than previous. And I thought, honestly, I liked how he was shedding blocks. He wasn't getting stuck in them. So if he got in a situation where it was a stalemate, he was spinning one way or another, getting off that block and getting to the ball. He ended up with seven tackles. So
we'll take that.
He was getting in on the ball, getting in on tackles like crazy, really hustling to the ball. That reminds me, I got to rewind real quick. J.C. Hassenhauer had absolutely incredible hustle through the whole game. I thought J.C. had a tremendous game on the offensive line. Every time a pass was thrown down the field, he was running to it to try to help move the pile. In the running game, always pushing the pile. Meanwhile, some of his co-workers were just standing around. Not him. He was keeping busy that whole game. Tremendous effort from J.C. Hassenhauer. But same kind of thing. Great effort from Mondo. It's just a tough ask because technically he's the third string nose tackle and he was going against starting offensive linemen. That's a tough challenge for him, especially when he was being flanked by Chris Wormley on one side, Isaiah Loudermilk on the other. And a lot of times it was mostly nickel, so it was just him and Loudermilk going against five offensive linemen. It's just a tough task.
Very much so. I don't have much to say about the defensive line. We talked about Henry Mondo. Khalil Davis.
Hit of the game.
Wow.
Deke leader. Absolute Deke leader to end the game. What an exclamation point, huh?
And I loved Mike Tomlin's reaction to it because they switched right to his face and he was just smirking. Because that's Steelers football. You know, it's not playing dirty, but it's playing hard between the whistles. Yeah. And quite frankly, through the whistle. And that's what they're taught to do, and they did it very well.
The Marvin Leal had at least one pass rush rep that was really nice. Just was unable to get Geno Smith to the ground. If it's not a quarterback quite as athletic as Geno, I think he probably gets him to the ground. But beat his offensive lineman pretty well and got right in there very quickly. So I thought that was a nice sign from DeMarvin. Onto the linebackers then, Cody?
Linebackers. I don't know. I didn't see a whole lot out of the outside linebackers. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. I saw that Miles Jack looked very comfortable with the defense, which I thought was huge. Robert Spillane had a couple plays where I was very impressed with him breaking down and making sure the running back or the wide receiver didn't get past him. He didn't always end up with the tackle, but he allowed there to be time for someone else to come over and help, which, quite frankly, is an underrated ability of a defender to you know, you don't always have to be the one to get the tackle, but make sure that the play doesn't move past you. So again, Devin Bush, no spark, nothing really there. That, like, it's kind of like the same thing with the offensive line. You kind of didn't know he was there. In this case, it's kind of a bad thing.
You want him to at least register a few more tackles. He did get a decent amount of playing time. and to really just kind of disappear in the game is a bad sign, especially when Miles Jack was able to make some splash and stop some guys at or behind the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Like you said, Robert Spillane popped a few times as well. So kind of a bad outing, not necessarily bad, just no splash or very blah outing for Devin Bush.
I mean, Buddy Johnson led the team in tackles that game with 7.
Ugh. Yeah, and you would have never guessed it by watching the game.
No,
to be honest with you.
No.
Like, other than one play at the end where he had a one-on-one with a wide receiver on a wide receiver screen, he broke down great. He made the tackle, didn't let him get past. A lot of times past that, it looked to me like either he needed a little bit better conditioning because he wasn't running full speed towards the ball, or he was just not really sure where he was supposed to be going because he wasn't running as fast. And like, I know he's an athletic dude. He's a pretty quick guy. He moves faster, can move faster than he was at a lot of points during the game.
Yeah.
So to me, it kind of looked like maybe he wasn't ready for as much playing time as he got. In a contrast to that, Mark Robinson, I thought, looked pretty solid. Definitely looked in better shape and gave Pittsburgh the opportunity to win the game with a tremendous play at the end on a strip sack.
Yep.
Granted, he was completely unblocked, but he understood the assignment, right?
Absolutely.
In that situation, you've got a chance to hit the quarterback and knock the ball loose. And he came around with that chop arm, knocked the ball loose. Pittsburgh recovered it. And then Kenny gets a chance to seal the game away because of it. So in the clutch moments, do you have the ability to make the play? Do you have the understanding of how you're supposed to do it? Mark Robinson showed that. So some real nice promise out of Mark in that game.
Yeah, that was a large, again, stock for him going up because of that play. Secondary-wise, I was mostly just disappointed with our secondary. I felt like a lot of players had a lot of room to make moves. Obviously Carl Joseph went down with an injury, then was carted off the field and seen with a boot.
And it was an air cast, which is a real bad sign for Carl. We haven't heard anything official on that, but I'm expecting to hear about a broken bone or ligament damage or something nasty like that for the poor guy, which sucks because it sounded like he was having a great camp.
Yeah.
But he's probably going to miss the season most likely.
Yeah. The other injury that I'm worried about specifically is the injury to Akilah Witherspoon. He had a really good play on just trying to make a tackle. Unfortunately, his shoulder took the blunt force of the tackle he was trying to make and just kind of sat there for a while. I'm not sure what that means for him moving forward. He's going to make the 53. I mean, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's our number one corner.
Yeah, but I don't know what that means as far as injury time, injury length, anything like that. I'm hoping that we give him some time to heal or whatever, and he can come back and be ready for week one.
Yeah, let's hope it was just a stinger. If it's a stinger, he'll be fine moving forward. If there's some actual damage to the shoulder, he could miss some time. But one of the biggest question marks against Akello was whether or not he was stout against the run. Everybody said he made business decisions. He wasn't a good tackler. Well, he came up twice early in that game, tackled the running back at or behind the line, made some really
one tackle
nice for hits.
Loss. One tackle for loss.
And I don't think it was the play he got injured on. It was previous to that.
Correct.
So, So he was showing that he was willing to make the tackles that people were saying that he necessarily was not willing to make. So I liked what I saw out of him before the injury. Unfortunately, that then put Pittsburgh in a situation where he had Cam Sutton and Levi Wallace, who neither one of them are tremendous athletes. So sometimes that can get exposed a little bit, and the cornerback room behind that, not so great.
Nope.
So that's the area opportunity, if you ask me right now, is the cornerback position on guys that can play outside after those top three. I love the performance from Trey Norwood. He had 2 pass breakups, one of which being in the end zone.
Yep.
And also I thought DeMonte KZ looked fantastic. He was all over, making all kinds of tackles. Did go down with an injury at one point, but came back on the very next drive and was fine. Also looked really good on kick coverage.
Yeah.
He had the responsibility as the bottom man on the screen a lot of times of containing it and forcing it back in, and did it every time. Yeah. So even though he wasn't making the tackle, he's putting other people in position to make the tackle, which is tremendous.
Yep, very similar to the same thing I said with Robert Spillane. It's not always about making the tackle. It's about doing your part to help the team win and making sure that the play either A, doesn't go back past you, or B, goes back to where other players can make a play.
Yep, absolutely. So I thought that was real nice out of both of them. Donovan Steiner, I thought, was kind of a lesser game from him. There was one play where he actually tackled Mark Robinson off of a tackler and a touchdown was given up because of it. Mark Robinson was chasing somebody across the field and went for the ankle tackle, and Steiner went for it too, and just Robinson didn't even have a chance to make it because Steiner kind of tackled him.
Yeah.
So kind of up and down performance by Steiner, but at least was very, very optimistic on what we saw from Trey Norwood and KZ.
Yeah. Moving on to special teams, punt return and kick return. You had Anthony McFarland with two kick returns for 36 yards. 20 was his long and 18 average. Not bad from him. Not horrible.
Yeah.
You'd like to see a little bit more of a spark there. And you kind of did with Tyler Vaughns. Tyler Vaughns had one return for 27 yards. So that was pretty good on his part. And then the big one that we're going to talk about is the punt return. I thought for sure this was going to go for a loss of yards or gain of 5. Steven Sims turned that into something spectacular. I would use that word.
Yeah, that's definitely a good word to use to describe it, because a 38-yard punt return don't come easy, and it doesn't come often either. So very impressive move by this young man. He was on the practice squad last year, actually got called up and had some playing time last year above Anthony Miller. He got called up above Anthony Miller, which was something that really stuck out for folks at the time. Kind of showed why on that play. So he's got some nice ability on the punt return game. So really exciting to see that from him. I like seeing Anthony Miller on that opening, that first kick return. Because he broke a tackle early and almost didn't even break stride. And that was the first time that I said, wait a minute, the old Anthony Miller would have gone down with that hit.
Yep.
The new one don't even break stride with that hit. I like the new one better.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Was really excited to see that. And it brings the question, Gunnar Olszewski didn't do any returning.
No, you didn't need him to. But you did need him at wide receiver.
And he did really well at wide receiver. So what the heck's the plan right now? When we get to our final 53-man roster predictions, this is the kind of stuff that's going to impact it. And so it's going to be wild, James. We're going to keep 10 receivers. What the heck?
But why are there 2 fullbacks on the roster?
What's happening? Looking at the last 2 things, kicking and punting, because you can't forget the kickers and punters matter too. Kicker, perfect on the day. You know, Boswell did great. Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't Boswell that it was perfect Nick. On the day.
Mr. Nick.
Nick Skiba. Is it Skiba?
Yeah.
I think it's Skiba.
Skiba.
Skiba. Skiba. 1 for 1 on field goals and 3 for 3 on extra points. Well done.
Literally his only negative mark is he didn't have the distance on his kickoffs that you see from Boswell, but Boswell is one of the best kickers in the entire NFL. So you get kind of spoiled when you got a kicker like
the
Bos.
Best kicker, just not the highest paid.
Cameron Nazella, kind of an up and down performance.
On the punt.
I didn't see a single bad long snap. So nice job, Christian Coops.
Yep. It wasn't an 82-yard punt like the freaking Titans had. I think that was who it was. That was wild.
Everybody thought that guy was going to be the top punter coming out in the draft, and then he was like the 5th one. Whatever. Everybody's like, why is he the 5th one? He's got the best leg. He clearly has the best leg.
Clearly.
I think he's just like inaccurate.
He may not have the accuracy, which is, you know, you take your chance with that. But that's going to wrap up the game. Again, just so we never got to this. Pittsburgh won 32-25.
We did say it was Victory Monday.
Well, yeah, but we didn't say, you know, Pittsburgh scored with, I think, like 13 seconds left or something on the Kenny Pickett 3. Oh, you're right. It was 3. I got the 3 right and just minus the 1 at the beginning. So, again, phenomenal play for our first game. Again, this is preseason. It's not to get too hyped up about, but you can get excited. I saw my cousin posted that. My cousin, shout out to you, Jonathan. He posted on Facebook and said, Steelers have a quarterback that can run Super Bowl. So,
attaboy, Jonathan.
We'll see what happens with that. But again, not to be too excited about, but you can be excited about the players that are making splashes, because quite frankly, even if they don't make the team here, them making splashes is beneficial to them, their family, their future, and all that stuff. So you have one more thing to say before we shut this baby down.
One last thing. Don't get too stressed about the defense not being that great against the run. We had 6 starters on defense that did not play in this game, and a couple of backups that didn't play also. So it'll look better in future games, I believe, personally.
Absolutely. So again, thank you guys so much for following, for liking, for subscribing on YouTube. Make sure that if you guys are watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, 5-star reviews, likes, follows, everything. Don't forget to follow and like on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. You get alerted every time that a new video comes out like this one. And until next time, this is your hosts, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.